Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord, to share your word, to continue last week's message and just and bring it together, Father God, to what you would have to say to your church, your people this evening, Lord. Lift us up right now, I pray, in your hands and in your love. Open up our hearts to hear what it is you would have to say to us. I pray that, Lord, that you will bring to recall to your servant this evening as I stand here, Lord, that Father God, that you will cause me to remember everything you would have me to say. Now, the Lord, everything else just gets put aside right now and we just focus upon you. The arm of the Lord is revealed in your house tonight, Lord. So, Father, let your word come forth and bless us. And we know that it won't come back void, but prosper and accomplish everything that you purpose and set it out to this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this evening. I know it's a different time of the day. We would have met this morning normally, and I thank you for allowing me to do that. To finish off the message that I started last week, I only probably needed about another 15 minutes to wrap up what I was speaking about, but I didn't want to rush it, and as the Holy Spirit leads and guides you, then there's always a little bit more than perhaps the time that you expect to take to preach a message. But we're talking about crossing over the Jordan. We're talking about how I just tried to maybe share how my thoughts were about the way that I saw that particular time, how God had changed the generations of the Israelites and got them prepared and ready and excited for the journey ahead. Remember, I shared last week, and it's on the tape for you to catch up if you need to, about how disappointed we were when we saw a holiday brochure and booked up a holiday, but when we got there it was absolutely awful and it was nothing like what the brochure had said it would. And but God's promises is quite the opposite of that. Whatever God promises, that he delivers, and it's far better. So you had a nation of people that were all stood sharing things, there it is, that they can see, finally see with their own eyes what God has for them. But hang on, there's a little bit of something in the way, and we were just leading. I was just trying to build up to the excitement that we can get in our hearts when we finally see, you know, some of our loved ones and our families, no matter how many times we tell them about it, isn't it, that they just don't get it. And we have to pray, God, open their eyes, let them see you for who you are, let them see you as their risen Savior. Let them see you as the one who died for them. Let them see Jesus Christ in all his glory. Because no matter how many times we tell them, it just doesn't seem to be. So the eyes of this generation who'd heard all these things in the past from the men who we've been building up and telling you about, Joshua and Caleb, about all these generations and years beforehand, for the 40 years wandering in the wilderness, all the stories that they heard about how great God was and how great this promised land was, that they could now see it for themselves. Hey, it's better than the brochure. Look at it. Look how plush and fertile it is. Look at it. Look at the abundance in that land. It's absolutely amazing. And then he's all get excited. Come on, boy, let's get ready to go. There was that build up. I would like to share again with you the reading I did from Ezekiel, because I just love that passion of scripture, because it talks about how we can so often be. And as I read this, somewhere try to make it come alive in your life and put yourself into the situation of the scriptures that I'm going to read of. So if you're following in your Bible, it's Ezekiel and it's chapter 13 verses 1 through to 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and a suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came unto them, and he lived, and stood upon their feet with an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from the graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. What a wonderful passage of scripture. And you can just paint picture. Doesn't it paint that scripture? Just paint. I don't know about what you visualized when I was reading that. Where did you see yourself? One thing I noticed about everything that God said and spoke to through His Word, which is the Word that quickens our spirit and our soul. It quickens us. It brings judgment, as the Psalm says in 119. And it also brings loving kindness and mercy and truth and grace. But every single one of those was obedient to what God had said. So whether you saw yourself as the dry bones, whether you saw yourself as the raggling, the bones, it's so dry, you know, and you can go to church, you can be going to church, you could be doing all the right things, but let me tell you, you can sound like this, where there's absolutely no life in you. If you felt like that, sometimes you just feel absolutely lifeless. Well, let me tell you, the breath of God was obedient to God's word also, because he said, speak into the breath of God that it may go, and the spirit of God came to those bones. But as it started to put, it puts them together, doesn't it? It says that the bones started rattling, then the sinews came on them, and then they started, and then all the bits and all the components, because the servant of God did what God said. He prophesied unto them. I challenge you tonight, go to the dry bones of your places, of your family, or your work colleagues, or the ones that you love, or even to the church right here and now. Start prophesying and say, oh dry bones, come to life. That the noise that we hear will not be the rattling and moaning and groaning and complaining and whinging all the time, but the rattling that we will hear is the resurrection of life, of God breathing his breath into us, and we come alive. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, nor do I. There's no spaces in between, and Ezekiel didn't feel like doing it today. So I did as the Lord commanded. Well, the Lord commands us as the church of Jesus Christ, to speak the situations that we think are dead and buried and gone and lost. I say, come alive. Hallelujah. I may have written off. Don't ever write off your promise that you have received from God. Just speak it again with a freshness. We were speaking about this after the service last week. Not only the Logos word, which represents the word which was there beyond. I can't get my mind around this. Before even the cosmos was created. That's the Logos. That's where in the beginning was God. When God created the heavens and the earth. Even before that, God was God. The Logos, Jesus Christ, has always been around. How can we? It's hard to imagine something without him there, isn't it? Well, it must have started from something. No. He's always been there. That Logos word that has always been comes to life today. And it comes in a form, it says it's a rhema word. Speak it as a newness of God today with a new freshness and a new hope in your heart. And God will cause it to come alive. Those bones will start to rattle. And he will come alive. Speak, O breath of God. Breathe in us, O breath of God. We sing songs of the Holy Spirit. We leave ourselves open to the Holy Spirit. Say, breathe on me again. Spirit of God, breathe on me. There's lots, isn't there, of come breathe on me again, Holy Spirit. And give me life. And give me breath. Give me hope. There's one that we were going to do tonight. It's your breath that I breathe. It's your breath in my lungs. Hallelujah. The breathing. Speak. Speak to your husband. Speak to your wife. Speak over them. Don't write them off. Because you know somewhere in the distant past, they were written on the brochure that God gave you for the promised land. And it does not change. whatever you've added in, I challenged you last week, go back to the promise, go back to the brochure, and scribble off all the frills that you've added on that were never ever intended to be. And just get back to the original promise of God and let Him bless you abundantly in it. How could I not mention this again, Ezekiel? I would love to speak this and encourage you every day. Why do I say these things? Because God says that I got a new Israel. They're now ready, camped on the side of the Jordan. There is no longer going to be defeatists. There is no longer going to be negative. There is no longer going to be doubtful. There is eternally hopeful and grateful because they can now see the promise. Can you see it, saints of God? Can you see it? Lovely message that I preach at springtime when I bring some blossom in. I don't think I did it this year. I bring some blossom on. With the beautiful blossoms on a tree. But you know when you see a blossom, what's the next thing that's going to come? The fruit. That you know you're going to see the fruit. Hallelujah. If you can't see the blossom, you will never see the fruit. If you can't see the promise, you will never ever realize it in your life. Begin to start to see it in faith. And then speak to it by speaking and commanding the word. The word which will bring life. The word which will bring judgment. The word which will bring loving kindness. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think I ended somewhere round about there last week. And then I wanted to go a little bit further. Let's cross over. Off you go, boys. Get in. Jump in. Go for a paddle. Go for a swim. Linda will enjoy this one. Get your kayak out. She won't let me have a kayak. I think, isn't she mean? Isn't she? When you want to go in shallow water, you can't go out there, you get taken away by the tide and things like that. Just don't worry about that. So after the service, when we go up, say, oh, I think you should let him have a kayak. Because they're selling them now cheap in Littles for £40 or something like that. Hallelujah. They didn't get armbands handed out, and there was, in Linda's message a couple of weeks ago, she shared that for 40 years Israel had been led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, they stopped. And also, there was words in the scripture that said, go and gather provisions. Get ready. Get ready for the journey. Go and gather provisions. You think, well, hang on. They were used to being guided by day, being guided by night. They were used to going out every day and having everything put in front of them. And you may think, well, oh, suddenly, now that there's a bit of hard stuff to do, God's just taken away everything. Far from it. I think what happens next just enhances the promise of God, where He says, part of the promise to receive in your life was that He would never leave or forsake you. And He's not about to let's dump you and leave you in all this trouble. Maybe Israel was just like growing up like our children. It's time to grow up. I know I've done all this for you, but do you know there is something within you now that I've placed in you, that I've spoken into your life, that you can start to do things for yourself? Ah, now that's hard to grasp in the spiritual, in a natural realm, let alone a spiritual realm. But just see it like you would do with your own children, that you do everything for them, and then suddenly you start letting them off the lead a bit, and they go, sir, but let you know tonight that God has got the end of it, that He's got the button that He can push on those leads and you back in and keep you safe at any single point in time. So you could easily think that He's withdrawn all support, I don't think so at all. I think in fact he's just given us the freedom to do what it is that we need to do, to make choices in our lives. And if we make the right ones tonight, if we follow God, then we can't be far going wrong. You never abandon, never abandon. Just let out the reins a little bit. So I know. And he wasn't about to do. I remember when I first started to learn to swim, that I can vivid picture in my mind right now that we were poor. I didn't even have bathers. I was sitting there with my little white underpants, standing by the side of the pool like a scrawny little kid. My dad just picked me up by the scruff of the pants and threw me in the deep end. Did it? Sploosh, like that. But he was by the side, ready to pull me out if I got into trouble. And I swam. I kicked a bit. Some of us will kick when we're launched out like that. But God is always there, and He'll never allow you to go. My dad wouldn't allow me to go under. He was a brilliant swimmer, and he's so big, he would just put his hand down and then pulled me out at any time. But He's not about to do that either. So there's none of these sat on edge. We go, come on, boys, get across. I'll make sure you got enough supply of rubber rings and or armbands or whatever, or kayaks, or canoes, or paddle boats, or whatever. I'll never leave you or forsake you. But I will go ahead and prepare a way for you. Let's pick something from John. Chapter 14, 1-4. Let not your heart be troubled, neither you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself where I am. There you must also be. And where I am, where I go, you know. And the way you know. I think that's important. Because they stood on the side there saying, get ready to cross over the Jordan into the promised land that God can declare to you to say, the way I go, you know the way. Because we've spent time with the Savior. We've spent time sitting at the feet of Jesus, knowing His teachings, knowing His word. These people would have spent time with those godly men, Caleb and Joshua, knowing and being encouraged that to trust God, step out and trust Him, that He is there. I go to prepare. I'm going to go in front of you. I'm going to go and prepare a way for you. You know, sometimes God asks us to do some very difficult things that we look at and we just see it as it is. But do you not think that He's already gone and prepared a way? I'm already there, He says. Before I even spoke it, I'm already there. Before I even speak it, do you want to know? I've already done it for you. And all He wants us to do is just step out in faith. I think that's wonderful, Lord God, who is now going to take, you know, the ratio of people that you go and allow to take into the swimming pool now is dropped. You've got to be, it's like 1-1 for babies, isn't it? Gary and Helen take the little ones. And then, what is it now for the infants?
Well, I've got three now. They're 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
And there's not enough mum and dads to go.
Is it? No. It's almost like you can't take your kids. If you've got more than 3 kids, you can't go swimming anymore. You go, right, stay in a car, right? I'll be back in half an hour. You can't do it, can you? But there's thousands of them. They can't be carried across. They have to make their own way across this difficult time. But God sent someone before them to prepare the way. He sent Christ before us to prepare the way. And the reason I'm building up to this is Joshua 3:6 says, then Joshua spoke to the priests saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. The priests crossed over before the people. The anointed one crossed over before the people. The chosen ones passed over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went before the people. Hallelujah. The priests take the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. God sent His holy and anointed to stand in the midst of a raging torrent of water to do the impossible. God sent Jesus Christ to stand in the most impossible of situations to prepare a way for you. The anointed one. The holy one. The priest. After the order that's never been written before or afterwards. Hebrews 12:2, I need to read that as well, because that says that, where is it? Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down by the right hand of the throne of God. God has gone before us. Jesus Christ endured the cross Hold on, because we're going to get there and this will start to come together in your heart in a minute. That Jesus endured the cross for the joy which was yet to come. And I put it to us today, and excuse the pun or any likeness other than the fact that when I read that, it made me think of that Moriah is going to enjoy the crossing for the joy which is yet to come. The pain in the suffering, the difficulty in the crossing of the Jordan. Then Moriah Church, each and every individual here, will endure it because Christ has already gone before you, paid the punishment and every single thing that he needed to do, because on the cross he says it's finished. Listen, you don't have to do anything. Yeah. All you have to do is set your feet in motion, take a step of faith to believe that God will do it. All Israel had to do was to step out, because these priests have gone before him. They carry the Ark of the Covenant. They carry the very presence of God. You know you carry the presence of God with you, and that you can go and stand in the midst of the most troubled times and make a way for those who I just said to you to declare the word to, that they could be free and life can come again in the name of Jesus. Because somewhere on the line, somewhere yesterday, the day before, or the week before, or the month before, do you know what happened? Somebody did it for you. Somebody did it for me. Somebody stood and believe that I could follow Jesus Christ. Endured the cross. Listen, Israel, we're going to endure the crossing for the joy which was yet to come. Enduring, caused to suffer. I don't want to suffer. You want to follow Jesus? You want a soft life? If you do, why are you here? The world will give you the soft life. Being a Christian, there is no greater calling upon anyone's life. No. But it's caused to suffer. It's to come under the cross. I'm not very good at enduring sometimes. Something that I was struggling enduring that weather today. And then to put on a smile every time someone came past. Hello. Would you like a little plastic police hat? And that was the adults. The children, and somebody else would come up. It's hard work. And sometimes I just collapse at any enduring or suffering. I'm a bit of a wimp, really. But then you're just reminded, what is our suffering compared to what Jesus Christ did for us? If Jesus Christ can go before and prepare the way for us, and I just need to follow, and he says, come on, follow me. Come on, cross over. Because when you do, you cross over into the arms of the Father. Amen. Into the kingdom. Hallelujah. And there's a scripture in Colossians, or I forget, I think it's 1:13, that you translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And it says, through tribulation you shall enter the kingdom of God. Not around it, not skirting it, not going without it, but through it. Jesus Christ came under. What does it mean to come under the cross? It's difficult to understand, but surely it just means that you do what Jesus did. He just gave up everything that he had. He came under the principles of the cross to deny the flesh, to crucify the flesh, the old person, everything that I used to believe maybe in the world, how I thought was important, is no longer. And this is all part of standing and making a stand in the middle of the Jordan that's going to stop the waters and the trials and the tribulations and the troubles coming against you. Please hold on for a little bit longer. He came under the cross. It's the gospel. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only Son. You know, what a beautiful gift that is. That whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Another portion in scripture in the Hebrews, it says, he appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. He's gone before us. The one who has been perfected forever has gone before us. Forever. When I said to you about where's the beginning of time, well, where is the end of it? It's forever. We never need to do anything. You know, you didn't stand there and say, boys, go on, swim across, do everything on your own and get across under your own steam. And I don't think anybody would have tried to. The priests go before us. I want you to get hold of this principle tonight, that Jesus Christ has gone before you to do all the hard work for you. He's died for you. So why are we trying to do anything to make up for anything that we've done wrong, bad, or why are we trying to earn His favor? It doesn't make any difference. He's done it all for us. He's gone before us, and if we could just hold on that, that's that loving kindness, that's that mercy and that grace, which will quicken our spirits and bring revival to our souls, to know, I don't have to do anything. It doesn't matter whether I can swim or not. It doesn't matter whether or not I'm fearful of water. It doesn't matter whether I'm fearful of this situation. All I need to do is just to believe. All I need to do is just follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Stood in the middle of the Jordan, the anointed priests lead the way. I want to read a passage of scripture. I don't want to labour the point, but I would like to get it over to us tonight. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. He also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus and said to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like others, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven and beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You want to know the way tonight? Everybody who exalts himself will be humbled. Everybody who humbles himself will be exalted. Do not think that Jesus humbled himself and come under the cross at the command of his Father that died, that gave up his life for each and every one of us tonight. Which one went down to the Father's house? Which way? How is it? Which is the way across the river? To be humble. I want to tell you about the first time that I crossed the River Jordan. You see, this isn't a one-off thing. You don't just get a one-way ticket, cross over, and that's it. This is sometimes something in a process that we need to go through, maybe sometimes even daily in our lives. The first time I crossed the Jordan and humbled myself before the mighty hand of God was not long after I gave my heart to Him. And I believed in Jesus Christ. I believed He was my Savior. I believed He was my Redeemer. But I was broken and brought to my knees because of a work situation that I'd lost my job. And I came home and just shared with Linda and I just fell to pieces. Fell to pieces. I can't do this anymore. I could not do it. I felt useless. And then I just received the love and all the support and kindness from my dear wife here who said, it doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. That's all you need to hold on to. I was broken at that point. But I humbled. I didn't come in and say, oh, I lost my job today, but oh, never mind. I'm going to go out and get another one. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm big and I'm tough and I'm whatever. You see, because if I had, I wouldn't have got across the Jordan. I wouldn't have got across to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I wouldn't have seen His goodness in all His glory. I wouldn't have sat and stood in that promised land that maybe I'd heard about and I could see it from afar off, but I wasn't experiencing. But because of what I went through, I did feel it. And I did experience the loving hand of God. You want to know the way across the Jordan? Humble yourself before God. Amen. Admit it. Amen. Ask and repent and ask for forgiveness. And God will do some miraculous things. He sent the priest first for you to follow. Stood in the middle of the Jordan. This is what happened. What happens when we humble ourselves before God and cry out, God hears and answers and brings salvation through the most troubled of waters. In verse 13, I've lost my place now. Excuse me a minute. Joshua 3:13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off as the waters that come up against upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. The Jordan, as Linda described, is that windy river that she described, a long, deep and fast flowing river that came from a very high place. And it just means that the name of the river Jordan means a descender, humbling. Think how all this fits together, that the priests are stood in the middle of something that comes from a high place to a low place. For God to stop the waters, that he uses his anointed one to bring down those that are exalted, to bring down the one, to bring down the one who thought he got the victory at the cross, to bring down the devil who exalted himself above all. He made him descend. Right in the middle of the Jordan. You overcome your battles right in the middle of the Jordan. And God will cause them to descend. Hallelujah. And cause them to stop and come up like a heap, as it describes here. Linda and I were talking. I'll get to that in a minute. But the other thing that was reminded me, it's like the descending. You know, pride is one of the biggest downfalls for anything, isn't it? And when I read that, ties in with the milk and honey of the promised land. You heard the saying, get down off your horse and drink your milk. So get down off your high place today, saints of God, and you can pass over, and you can cross over, and you can drink your milk, hallelujah, and you can taste of the prosperity and the health of the Lord Jesus Christ has for you, or what God has for you in the promised land. But you have to come from the high place. It's not about me. It's all about you, Jesus. And I come down, and I'm on my knees, and I realize that I'm a sinner. Before a righteous God, I understand, but I humble myself. And right in the middle of the Jordan, God does this miracle. When I was speaking to Linda about this, we were talking about, and I said, yeah, but just like a dam. She said, no, it's not like a dam. She says, no, not like a dam. I said, well, it is like a dam. The waters go up like a heap and stop the waters. I said, like a dam would. She said, no. And I thought, what's the matter with the woman? Why does she not get him? I've only said it's like a dam because it stopped the water. No, she said, it's not. Don't say that from the front. Don't tell them that from the front. It's not a dam. I said, well, what is it like this? She said, it's more like a glass wall. I never realized. You see, because what I've been thinking, well, if it's a... excuse me, for my, this is my dam, okay? And if you can imagine, the Jordan behind there and the raging torrent, it's stopped. Actually, the description of where it says it causes it to raise up like a heap is like a wave. So you can just see the wave. All of a sudden, a wave comes up and then it stops. Now, you can still see through the wave. You could still see it. If it was a dam, apart from the fact that there were not enough priests really, even if you did lay them end to end on their heads and plant them in the ground, they would not cause a dam. They would not stop the water physically. This isn't a physical thing, is it? But I can't see what's coming. And one of the promises of God is that he will open up our eyes to the things that come. He will reveal unto us some things that have come. He's never promised to take away the problem. The problem's behind that wall. But we want to tell you that, you see, it's not going to hit me. Now I can see the problem, but you know what? I can't see the problem, sorry, because I haven't taken my dam away to reveal my glass wall. Ta-da! That's heavy. I don't carry that from all the way out there. You see, now I can see. Now I can see the problem. But it's not going to get past that point. It's not going to get past it. No, regardless how that raging torrent of that river comes down, how fast it flows, and whatever problems that it brings with it, from a high place to a low place. Listen, when you make the decision to humble yourself before God, this problem's going to come and hit you. Or try to hit you. have to rephrase that, try to hit you. But God said, I will stop them. You may see them coming. How many times have you been knocked off balance and you say, well, I didn't see that coming. God showed you. Now you can spend some time in prayer. I got this problem coming up tomorrow, Lord. I got to deal with it. I got a situation. I got to deal with it tomorrow. And you know, if I didn't trust you and humble myself before you and stand in the river, following Jesus Christ, because that's what he did. Everything, trusted the Father in heaven. Nothing was of his own self. I can do nothing in my own self. And I stand there and I declare the same words today. Jesus, it's no good saying, oh, well, I thought I did it last week. I was fine. I'll be fine. I'll be all right. Poof. Down comes the wall, and you don't only see it coming, it's going to knock you again. But you don't, you're not going to be in a situation where, well, I didn't see that coming. You see, if we went into a study of the occupants of the promised land, which is up ahead, all the occupants which are already in there, there's a nation called the Hittites. They were the modern day terrorists, if you like. That doesn't give you advance warning of whacking you on the head. And when your friend says or speaks something to you, which is you that, well, I didn't see that coming. The letter in the post to tell you and diagnose or something, whatever it is. And there's so many lines of communication now, it could be anything. It could be a phone call, an email, a text, whatever it is. It's the shock. Well, I didn't see that coming. That's totally unexpected. And that's what knocks you off, doesn't it? And that's probably what's going to cause you to go under. But no, that's not the promise of God. That's not our journey to the promised land. That's not what God has promised. He said, I will cause it to stop. I will cause it to mount up a halt. Don't stop the letter from coming. Don't stop the phone call from coming. But it stops the after effect of it. In other words, you know, I'm not going to let anything harm you. I'm going to protect you. All that from just trusting and believing in Jesus. Is it that simple, Pastor? Yes. Is it that easy? That God knows all my problems before me and he can show me them. He can show me and I don't need to be afraid. Yes, it's as clear as that. And he's not going to hide it with a damn. That's what the world would do. They'll knock you off your feet. Hallelujah. That's the God I serve. That's the God that I want to follow. That's the priest that I want to believe in. Standing and holding back the problems and the troubles because he said it's finished. The cross was the barrier. It halted it. He said, stop. Stop. My child is coming through. And nothing that the world or the enemy or the devil can say is going to stop it. Because you know why? Because they believe in me. And they've humbled themselves. They've not exalted themselves up to say, well, I'm glad I'm not like him, that wretch over there. I just pay my tithes and my taxes and I do all the right things. I say the right things. I put my hands up in the air. I do all the right stuff. I'm glad I... Oh, woe is me. I've gone wrong again. That's okay. Come on through. Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Cleanse me and wash me with your blood. Okay, come on. Come on through. Your word. There's a way through. And I want to take you. Hallelujah. You know, there were some big problems ahead. And I'm not going to paint everything that they say that all these, every single Israelite that was crossing over here, because you know, oh, woe is Israel. Through cycles. But do you want me to tell you something? So do I, so do you, so do you, so do you, so do you. You're going to go through the same cycles. All I want you to do through is maybe when you do and you realize that you're wrong, come back to this cycle. And start to descend. And God will halt the flow. And God will stop the raging torrent that can come against you sometimes and say, stop! You go no further. That's my child. He belongs to me. Amen? God is good. I'm not sure what else I was going to say apart from that message. But the glass wall is what it is. Into the loving arms of the Father. As long as the priest stood in the midst of that place of humility, there would be a way to pass through. you think Jesus is playing okie cokie, jumping in and out of that way? No. Permanently there. Because what he's done is forever, ever, ever, for eternity. And we just need to step in and believe it. And John 14:6, I can't go without mentioning that. And I will finish on that. John 14:6. If someone finds it quicker than me, then they can.
Jesus said,
yeah.
"I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Amen. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the promised land except through me. No one's going to receive all the riches in glory by Christ Jesus except through me. No one is going to pass through the Jordan except by me. You're not going to do it on your own. The sooner or the later you realize it and you just relinquish it all up and say, "Lord, today I've heard your word. I'm going to get off my high horse. I'm going to come down. I'm going to descend. And I'm going to believe. And what the pastors showed me tonight through your word and through this illustration of the glass wall, cause the waters to rise up like a heap and be halted, that I may pass through unharmed." In Jesus' precious name. Let's stand together and pray. This hasn't ended the teaching that I would hope to bring you. There's a few more, because I believe that the biggest thing that Israel did, and as you go through and you read the rest of Joshua, is that one of the things God says was to drive them out. Don't settle with them. And each one of them were a problem. A nation defined and depicted as natures in the world. And he says, I want you to drive them out. You don't make friends with them. You don't settle down with them. You don't live with them. There's a message in that today. You don't have to live with your problems. You don't have to live with the fear and doubt, and sometimes the things that come against you. Maybe I'll bring some of those together and see how Joshua dealt with them and how those progress. And then we can begin to drive them out once and for all. Amen? God is good. Let us pray this evening.